This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we're moving on to our next story. The Prime Minister has announced that the government is going to take a closer look at three cases: the death of fireman Mohammad Adib, the allegations made by former AG Tan Sri Tommy Thomas, as well as the Pulau Batu Putih dispute. And they're doing this by forming special committees and task forces. So we wanted to look into what these could achieve that previous investigations didn't.
Yeah, because I think partly in the political sense, and I'm not saying this is political, but in the political sense, when you hear task force and committee, there I think is a growing resistance to it, right? To adding on more groups of people working on something. However, in these cases where an investigation is required, I think we were curious as to what the difference is going to be, particularly looking at these cases. So if we look at the investigation into the death of fireman Mohammad Adib, the Prime Minister said that the special committee is tasked, or the hope there is, to ensure a thorough, transparent and proper investigation. Because you may remember that at the time, the investigation was coloured by the high profile, very highly charged nature of the case itself, which has its roots in the riot at Seafield Sri Maha Mariamman Temple. And just to say ahead of time that a few lawyers have said that this committee is slightly problematic, right? It may set a negative precedent for the law. And if we look at the members of the committee, as has been announced, it includes the minister in the Prime Minister's Department of Parliament and Law, Datuk Sri Wan Junaidi Tuanku Jaafar, the Home Minister, Datuk Sri Hamza Zainuddin, the Minister of Housing and Local Government, Datuk Sri Rizal Marakan Nain Amarikan, the Attorney General, Tan Sri Idris Harun, and the Inspector General of Police, the IGP, Datuk Sri Akril Sani Abdullah Sani. So very high-profile names. But yes, I mean, how exactly that will translate into an investigation is something that's as yet unclear.
So that was the special committee for Mohammad Adib's death. The other task force, rather, is for investigating allegations made by Tommy Thomas. So these were made, of course, in his memoir, and they include things like abuse of power in the appointment of judges, executive interference in the judiciary, selective and political prosecutions, and breaches in the oath of secrecy. So this task force will examine these allegations, and it's going to be chaired by a former chief justice who will be appointed in the near future. And the Legal Affairs Division, as well as the Attorney General's Chambers, will be acting as the secretariat for that.
The last case, I think, is one that perhaps is the least memorable for the general public. I'm speaking
the one
here.
The one that people, I think, spoke about and posted about the least.
Yes. So this is related to Pulau Batu Putih, which was awarded to Singapore by the International Court of Justice in 2018. So a new task force is going to conduct a study, recommend appropriate options when it comes to this dispute. It's going to be chaired by the former AG, Tan Sri Muhammad Apandi Ali. And yeah, that's what we know at the outset. The question now becomes, okay, so we have these task forces, these committees. What's going to happen next? What kind of work are they going to be doing?
So send your thoughts our way. What do you make of these task forces? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us is Go Chia Yi, criminal lawyer, activist and representative of the Young Lawyers Movement. Chia Yi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sharmila, Lin. Nice to join you again.
So to start off with, what role do special committees and investigative task forces play when it comes to looking at cases?
So special committees and investigative task forces, they are mostly reactive in nature because something has happened. So now there is a need for a form of committee or task force or these particular individuals to come together and find what is the problem and what is the solution that we can implement in order to solve the problem. I think so. One of the roles that these special committees and investigative task forces have to play is they would have to try to reach a different finding from what something, like, let's say, like the coroner's court has already reached upon. So let's say for the coroner's court, they've made a finding that in Adib's case, that there was foul play and there were more than two people involved in that situation. And I think the role that they have to play as well is because there's probably a doubt in the system that exists, because there's a lack of public faith in the system itself. So that is something that these special committees or investigative task forces have to resolve. in the eye of the public.
I want to touch on something that we raised earlier, right? And that's the specific language being used in terms of the what they hope one task, one committee in particular is going to achieve. So the death of Muhammad Adib Muhammad Kasim, that special committee has been formed to ensure that there is a thorough, transparent, proper investigation. What would actually go into this process?
So I think what has been said by the Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Mr. Wan Junyadi Tuanku Jaafar, is that there will be a regular meeting that will be held between the members of the special committee. And I think there was a meeting that was held recently as well. And there was an agreement to form to kind of consult a senior pathologist on the issue. So they would like to, firstly, some of the process that they have to go through is that they have to consult all these relevant stakeholders. So let's say, for example, for one particular issue, let's say if they're not sure as to how to what the cause of death is, then they would have to consult a body of pathologists or experts on the issue. So I think the first step that they're taking is that they're consulting a senior pathologist on it. And but there's also something that has to be noted is that even in, during the inquiry itself, there was a bit of a disagreement between experts. So let's say if a pathologist may suggest that the fatal injuries which were sustained by Adib was caused by, let's say, the truck running over Adib. But another expert, such as a physics expert, may say that that's not exactly possible because if the truck ran over Adib, then there will be signs of crushing. So I think what the committee would have, what would have to go into the process for this committee is that they would have to consult a lot of stakeholders in this issue. So let's say, for example, the pathologist, the physics expert, and even like the police especially. Because I believe a year after the inquiry concluded and the decision was made, I think the then IGP, Tan Sri Abdul Hamid Badur, also said to the media that there were new witnesses coming forward to give statements. He said, and I quote, about 54 new witnesses coming forward to give evidence. So there may be a lot of evidence that the court was not able to consider during the time in which the court was hearing the inquiry. So I think all this statements, all this evidence will be something that the committee would have to sift through. So there would have to be something they have to sit down, go through, and amongst themselves, they have to deliberate on it and see what kind of finding that they can reach.
So briefly, the cases involving both Adib and Tommy Thomas were very high profile. They provoked a lot of public commentary. How does this play into the way these investigations are handled?
So for something like this, where there's a lot of public attention, I think the common perception is that if there's a lot of public attention, then maybe it would affect the way that this committee is going to perform the task. I have a contrary view and opinion on this, because I've seen many instances where if there is no public attention on the issue, then the issue just gets swept aside. So actually, I think for an issue such as this, it's important for the public to pay attention, because only when the public pays attention, then there is an incentive or a political will for these people to carry out what they're assigned to do. So let's say, for example, like we have a lot of death in custody cases in Malaysia. A lot of people die. And recently, so we had a client that passed away, you know, but these things don't get reported. Nobody really cares. There's no special task force special committee or task force is formed to look into this issue because the public is not aware about it. So I think in a situation like this, involving Adib as well as some of the allegations made by our former Attorney General, Tommy Thomas, I think the public attention in a way has helped in drawing attention to the issue. But one thing that we may have to look out for is that the intention behind forming this special committee and this task force, is it a political one? Why only now? Why are we forming this committee now or this task force now, especially when for Adib's case, it's been 3 years since that happened? I mean, they may argue that the coroner's court is doing an inquiry and all that, but I think that's something that has to be asked. And I think when the public is totally focused on the issue, then that may be something that the special task force may be considering rather than the actual issue.
I wanted to tie our next question to something you said, which is the importance of public awareness and public attention when it comes to the cases as well as the task force. Because I think one issue is ensuring that these committees and task forces meet their objectives, right? In trying to get to that point, I mean, what kind of transparency and reporting should there be?
Because let's say, for example, an inquiry that's held in the court, there is a recording of everything that the court says, that the witnesses say, the questions that are asked. So there is a record of everything. And anytime you want to refer back to the record, you can see. So let's say if these documents are tendered or produced in court, the court will keep a copy of it. So then the court will look at these documents or these videos. But what happens with this special committee or this task force is that more often than not, they are behind closed doors. So we're not sure whether these meetings are recorded, whether these deliberations or discussions are recorded properly. So I think that something that must be taken into consideration is that there must be proper documentation of everything that is done by this special committee or this task force. So there needs to be minutes that's taken down or recording of meetings, because we don't know exactly what they are considering. All we can have at the end of the day is maybe a report or finding or a statement, but that is insufficient because we need to know the nexus of the finding, like the source of it. And I think so something that's to be pointed out is that, you know, when you're in court, you're also given oath to say the truth, to say the truth before the court. Whereas for situations like this, where the committee may be interviewing people face-to-face, they don't have the oath to do so. I mean, you may argue that the oath is redundant, but I think one benefit of it, I guess, is that they can, there's more, people feel more comfortable talking in private, I guess. But at the end of the day, these things need to be reported and they have to be detailed in their documentation. Otherwise, they won't be achieving their objective to be transparent about this issue.
And what kind of precedent could this set for criminal investigations moving forward?
So, I mean, there's a reason why the committee is called special, right? Because it's not like they have it often. So it's a special committee. But we're facing a situation where a lot of parties are now calling for committees or task forces to be formed for various issues, such as what I think YB Lin Guaneng advocated for is for Teo Beng Hock. And some other people have advocated for task force for Indira Gandhi. So we're facing a situation where a lot of people are asking for like a task force to be formed because they have this impression that somehow the task force will solve the problem. So I'm circling back to what I said at the start, right, that most of these things are reactive in nature. Because at the end of the day, what these task forces are doing or these special committees are doing is they're trying to supplement a defect in the system. They're trying to supplement a flaw that exists. So they're not actually solving the problem. Because if you can't trust the system, then there must be something that is done, right, to restructure the system, to restore public faith in it. Because we can't be having a task force every now and then to investigate the issue. So that's one issue. From a legal perspective, the question that needs to be asked is where this task force is deriving their power from. Because if you can say the court can derive a power from the legislature, or maybe they have inherent powers to do so, but for this task force, like what gives them the power to do as they wish, to call people, or what gives them power to mandate these people to tell the truth? So we may have a situation where like we're not going to get the answers that we want, and this is going to be a roundabout way of everyone just wasting their resources. Because at the end of the day, the cause of death was identified by the coroner's court. The question now is like, who did it? And if they want to find who did it, that's a question that's going to be quite difficult, because not everybody tells the truth to the police. Not everybody tells the truth to the court. So how can we be certain from statements that we are reading or from people that we're interviewing behind closed doors? So at the end of the day, sometimes it may be a very difficult thing for the families of those that are involved for these issues to accept the reality that sometimes you may not get the answer that you wish for. Some things are going to remain unanswered for a very indefinite period of time. So that's all.
Chiayi, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Koh Chiayi, criminal lawyer, activist, and representative of the Young Lawyers Movement, weighing in on a series of special committees and task forces that have been established. Do continue sending your thoughts our way. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.